Today on the Contractor Fight podcast, we're going to dig into your money mindset. I'm going to share with you the strategies and tactics to help you get out of your own way and stop the friendly fire. Let's go. All right, everybody, welcome to the Money Mindset episode. Today is a very special episode. We're going to talk about money mindset here a little bit, but first, I think I have a feeling I'm about to get picked on. So that's because our guest today is Gina Malvestuto, who's been my bookkeeper for 20 years. It's over 20 years now, right? Right, Gina?
It is. That
it's
is
over
correct.
20 years. August of 2002. That would be minus 20 years, okay? We're recording this in October, so 2 years or 20 years and 2 months, roughly. What was the exact date? Do you know the exact date? Of course you do.
August. You should know the exact date.
Was it my wedding?
Uh-huh.
My wedding that just happened this past August. Yeah, August 20th. So anyway.
It's a fantastic day, isn't it?
It's 20 and 20, right?
Yep.
The 20th on the 20th. So anyway. Guys, you've heard me mention here many times before about the importance of having somebody who is kick-ass at the books to do your books. I'm going to recap a bunch of things here, Gina, real quick, and then you can pick on me. All right? You guys, I'm going to tell you, I tell you this all the time. If you're doing your own books, you're fucking them up. Okay? There's no other. I've known like two people that are contractors ever that actually did their books right. Okay. And I guarantee if you're listening to me right now, you're not one of those two. Okay. Like, guys, this is it. I don't want to get going too crazy here right away, Gina, because you know how I get. But like, this would be like you're a kitchen remodeler and the customer says, I'm going to do my own kitchen. Okay. Or, you know, I'm going to fix my own plumbing or whatever. Guys, they're going to suck at it. They're not going to be as good as you are. They might be able to figure it out. I mean, shit, I'm thinking of this guy down the street who did his own yard. He did all these paper patio shit, whatever, retaining wall in his front yard. And he's still not done. Okay. And it's taken him all summer. He's retired. He's out there like every fucking day. Okay. That's great. Eventually the thing's going to get done. But if you're listening to this show, you're not that guy. You don't have all the time in the world to figure shit out and make mistakes and redo them, especially when it comes to your money. I will tell you that Gina has been with us 20 years, been with me for 20 years. Guys, I've never been in tax trouble. The bills are always paid. I'm always paid. A lot of good things. This woman has full access to pretty much every account that I have in my life. Now, I want to say that she has earned this over time, okay, and been trustworthy in every sense of that. So my big pitch here right now, guys, if you are doing your own books or if you have a bookkeeper, which is this. So Gina, here it is. The people that are doing their own books are fucking them up. And then the guys that hire a bookkeeper, 95% of them, that bookkeeper's fucking them up because that bookkeeper doesn't understand the difference or what goes in cost of goods and things like that in a construction company. And they got labor over here, material over here, and this over here, and it's totally screwed up. And the net result of that is your shit ain't done right. You don't know what your break-even points are. You don't know if you're making money or not and blah, blah, blah. So we can get into that in a minute. All right. So I'm just trying to get all this out of the way here before, because guys, having known Gina for 20 years, I know when she starts talking, I ain't getting in another word. All right. So, you know, I'm just messing with you. So Gina, let's rewind to Starbucks in 2002 on August 20th, 2002, when I hired you. Describe for people, and you can have fun with this totally. I know you will. Describe for people the Tom Reber who showed up that day.
I mean, the guy like that had like shorts on and a flabby, icky t-shirt on. And yeah, and you looked at it. You looked way younger back then.
Well, I guess I was 32 at the time. So
no, you were, I would say the one thing that hasn't changed is you were pretty forthright and upfront from the get-go going, I don't know the hell I'm doing and I need help. Like that was basically it. Yeah.
Yeah. I was a mess. here's how Gina ended up getting hired. My ex-wife, when I started the business and Gina, I hired my cousin, Mike, to work with me, you know, Mike well. And then like within a couple months, I hired you. And that was the terms that my ex put out, was like, she handed me a flyer from the Naperville Chamber of Commerce that had your company on there. And she said, if you're going to do this business thing, you are going to hire somebody to do the books, because I know you're going to screw them up and you won't do them. And I'm not going to be the one that does them, that has to chase your ass all the time for things. So hire somebody.
I actually have a better story.
Do you?
Uh-huh.
Okay, that's how I recollect it.
Okay.
Am I wrong?
No, you're not wrong. But I have a better story that comes after that. So this is when you were with your partner, mm-hmm. with your painting company, and you decided to become a business coach of some sort and decided to start your own business. And then when you got bought out of said painting business, Mr. Reber thought he could do the books all by himself, God. Because it was coaching, and how hard could it be? And I think it lasted 3 months, and I got this phone call going, I'm groveling. I don't know what I'm doing.
I broke the cardinal rule of bookkeeping, and I did my own books for 3 months in my new business that you're all listening to now. So yeah.
And you're like, I thought it was gonna be easy. I was really wrong. I'm really sorry. Will you take me back? Yeah. So yeah, Tom and I broke up for a few months.
Well, it wasn't like a total breakup. It was just because I was done with that other company and I was starting this new thing. And so anyway, all right, I want to rewind too. There was a time in the painting company that we hired our first office manager. And we decided, which was stupid. This didn't last long. We decided, because she said she knew how to do QuickBooks. So we're like, oh, we could save some money. And we'll have our new office manager do the books. And I want to say, what was it, Gina? In like 2 months, she like created in like a two, three, 4 month period, whatever it was, she created such a financial mess that it was, I don't remember the exact amount, but I know it was thousands and thousands of dollars paid to you to fix it. And, yeah. and that's all I remember. So guys, when we say all this and we share back and forth, when I sit here and go, quit doing your own fucking books and stuff like that, there's a reason. Okay. It's not just because I want you to hire Gina. Okay. I think you should. I think she's great. All right. But it's because you have other things that you need to focus on in your business that you're better at. All right. Like me, it's prospecting, it's building business development, it's creating content, those types of things. I don't need to be tied up on things like that I'm not good at. Okay. And I will say this, and then I want to ask you a couple money questions for people on the mindset stuff here. What I was going to say is you don't want to be tied up on things that you're no good at, because every minute you spend time doing something you suck at, you're not capitalizing and playing to your strengths, doing what you do really well. And when you hire somebody that knows their stuff, all right, and to Gina here, this is now, see, now I know what I was going to say. Gina, you've actually, I can't tell you how many times through the years you've, not just with me and my businesses, but other clients and stuff, because I hear the stories, how many CPAs that you're correcting and things like that. I'm not trying to throw CPAs under the bus and all this other stuff, but everyone's like, oh, CPAs, they're so amazing and blah, blah, blah. And it's like several times through the years, you've caught mistakes on our end that were happening that nobody would have ever caught. So like, guys, when I say like Gina is like totally detail-oriented and leaves no stone unturned, she's the real deal. In fact, and Gina, you know this, you know, I love you. I got to tell you, I love you. You know, I love you. All right. And I've told you this before, but I'm just making sure you know. And this is a good thing, you guys. When it comes to doing her job, she's a fucking pain in the ass. Okay? You are a pain in the ass.
Which means you're
doing your job. Okay? Like, guys, I will get screenshots of, you know, credit card statements with things highlighted and go, I've sent you this 16 times in the last 3 days through email. We can't do our job. If you don't do your job, reply to this fucking text right now or I will kill you. Okay. Like, not really, but that's kind of how I hear it. So Gina, where's that come from? Like, seriously, because not everybody does that. And I don't want to, and you're not babysitting me at all. I don't feel, but like you push me. Like I view you, you're almost like a financial personal trainer in some ways. Go and get your ass to the gym and do the shit that you got to do and eat right and this and that. Where's that come from in you?
It's part of like the ethical part of me, because the ethical part of me always wants everything to be like right and documented properly. I want to do what's fair and what's right. Mm-hmm. But I also have very high standards for myself. So it's whatever my standards are for myself, I put out into the world. Mm-hmm. And so if someone were to call me and ask me a question and want an answer, I feel like I should respond and give an answer. So when I put out questions and things, I expect it back. Like, you know, yes, I am a pain in the ass. And when I, you know, when I start with a new client, I always say, hey, I want to be like your biggest, best pain in the ass, best mm-hmm. friend that is going to be a love-hate relationship. But I don't want to put something in the wrong place. I have to make an educated guess, but I, you know, it will say an educated guess until you tell me differently.
Well, when you're a pain in the ass, it's my doing. So it's, and it is, guys, like, seriously, like I'm a pain in the butt to rope in sometimes, but I just appreciate how you keep after us and all your clients. You do a great job of that. So speaking
of, thank you.
What are some of the dumbest things other than people doing their own books that you're seeing happening in the money mindset world right now in the financial world with contractors?
They overspend not only in their business, but they overspend personally. They take more out of their business than the business has to give them. Mm-hmm. And then they wonder why everything is so tight and they don't have money to do stuff, or why they don't understand why they're so in debt. And that's probably one of the biggest things I see, is they're not paying attention. They're not paying attention to what the money is in the business. Mm-hmm. So I'll give you an example. The bottom line is, you know, you've only netted $10,000, but you've taken 50.
Yeah.
That negative 40 has to go somewhere. And it's usually the debt on the books. Mm-hmm. And if you keep doing that over and over and over again, you're just digging a bigger hole to try to get out of. And a lot of contractors don't see or understand that. And part of it is because they're not doing their books or don't even know what their numbers are. Mm-hmm.
What does it mean to know your numbers?
Oh, that's an interesting question, because it means a lot of different things in different ways. It's knowing what your sales number is. It's knowing what your gross profit number is. It's knowing that not just the gross profit number, but that percent. It's knowing what the percent of your labor is based on your income. It's knowing what your materials are based on your income. It's understanding that even if you're job costing, when you look at your P&L, that gross profit number is going to be a little bit less than when you're job costing because of additional items you might need. Mm-hmm. An example for a painter would be, you need to buy that ladder. You need to buy those rollers. And so that's part of it. It's knowing your numbers, knowing what your bottom line is, knowing your balance sheet and understanding what your debt is. And is your debt to ratio, your liabilities to your equity ratio, what is that looking like? Is your business healthy? Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of pieces to knowing your numbers.
Most contractors are undercharging for the value that they bring, which is why we preach at least 50% gross profit on your work. So many contractors are confused about how to do that, and that's why we have the 50% gross profit worksheet for you. Head to thecontractorfight.com/50 and download the sheet. It's time to stop stealing from your family. Go get it now. I feel fortunate that, you know, over 20 years, I mean, I remember sitting on Orchard Avenue when I bought a house in Oswego, Illinois, and I was sitting there. We had a little sunken living room. I remember being on the phone one night with you, and you had emailed over our P&L with the painting business. And it was like 7 o'clock at night or something. And I was like watching Monday Night Football or something. And I'm having a conversation about the books. I literally remember going, so what's this gross profit thing? What does that mean? What should it be? Like, we just started having these conversations. And what I've appreciated over the years, and I guess I'll answer something and then I'll ask you, then I'll answer one of the things that I would add. like, how do you know you have a good bookkeeper, right? Like that's something. How do you know you're going to hire the right person? How does somebody go about doing that? And for me, among many of the things that you're going to share, the one thing that I personally enjoy and appreciate is that you come with solutions. You know, like you don't just plug the numbers in and forget about it. Like when you work with somebody, like they're on your mind, their business is on your mind. It's not uncommon for me to get a text, a call, a message from you going, and I'm thinking way back even 20 years where you would be like, you came to me one time and you said, you know, what would really help the cash flow here is if you stop paying weekly, like everybody else in the trades. And we went to paying twice a month or whatever it was. And you were like with my partner and I, you're like, guys, the employees are going to hate it the first month, but after that, they're going to get used to it and it's going to be okay. And it totally was. And it totally helped our cash flow. Or you would do things like you would reach out to me and say, and this was huge. This is, so guys, this is all under knowing your numbers, by the way, because it's not just a one-time event, right? Knowing your numbers is just an ongoing thing. You reached out. I don't know if you, I'm sure you remember this, but I remember you saying, hey, in the last quarter, you guys have pulled X amount of hundreds of hours of overtime with this one builder. Okay. And we had a discussion around it and it was, it caused us to hire a couple more employees so that we actually, you know, you were teaching us about our capacity and like, and that we weren't charging for that overtime in the original bid. We were just shitting the work and getting it done. And we were the ones getting kicked in the face with it. So you guys, my big thing is when you work with somebody like Gina, who's bookkeeper, I even see this as a CPA thing too. Like, you know, Jeff, our CPA, is good with this. Guys, this is what it means to have a great financial team, is they're going to give you some insights and some solutions. So what would you add to that, picking a bookkeeper
for a service? Well, like yours? I would say, I'm going to plug myself a little bit here. Mm-hmm. I do have a YouTube channel. So if you go to YouTube and type in Green Tree Bookkeeping, you'll see me in my hat. I have a video of why I wear a hat that I think can come, that the reason I wear a hat would apply to anybody in business. Mm-hmm. So you could watch that. I also have a video there that talks about hiring a bookkeeper and what a P&L is and what a balance sheet is. And there are all these videos that are like 3 to 6 minutes long that I think would help any business. So that's something like if people were just wanting like a touch of or a taste of learning something, that would help them. But like in hiring a bookkeeper, I always say there's questions you have to ask, but it's not just asking the question, you have to know the answer. So if you ask that question, make sure you know the answer. So when they answer you, you know it's a correct, you know, answer. An example would be if you make a payment to your truck, mm-hmm. where do you put that? And see what they say. And if they say under auto expense, that would be the wrong answer. And you know, they're not a good bookkeeper. That would be like an example.
For those that don't know the right answer, what's the right answer?
Well, the right answer would be that the said vehicle is an asset on your balance sheet with the liability attached to that asset. And then that payment would go against the liability. But the portion that was the interest would go on the P&L.
Yeah,
see, it's a trick question.
This is why you hire Gina. So you kind of led into my next question, which was for somebody that doesn't know their numbers, right? They're insecure. They don't have the confidence in it, which we've all been there and that. I get that 100%. They're like, yeah, I got to hire somebody. How do they, if you don't know your numbers, if you don't know what you're supposed to do with this information and stuff, how do you go about hiring somebody and knowing that you're not getting hosed?
And what I just said, it's asking those questions, making sure you know those answers, doing some research on them, asking. I always ask with people that know them so mm-hmm. that, you know, comes from somebody reputable. I mean, think about when you're networking. You mm-hmm. usually are networking and you network with people that you're familiar with or you trust. That would be a place to start. You know what? CPA is the same thing. Like I've literally, when you hear comments from a CPA, like, and this is a true example, when I ask a question of like, so this number, I can't match it. Like if you are a corporation and you have a tax return, your business tax return, mm-hmm. and you have your NPNL, you should be able to find matching numbers on your P&L to your tax return. And this particular instance, I could only find two. And so when I asked the CPA about it, his answer was, Well, the client's books weren't completely done. So I did an estimate of their numbers and I stand by every number I put on their return. And all I could think of is it doesn't matter what question I ask next, because the answer is going to be a crap answer.
And yeah,
it's based on a guess. Around, exactly. And then to turn around and tell the client that was not a fun, you know, situation. You need to have a bookkeeper that, you know, is realistic. Like another example is, you know, people ask, well, how soon will I get my stuff? And I'm like, well, I have girls in the office and the work will be done, but we have a process. And the process is, you know, the work gets entered, it gets reconciled, it goes for a review. Once it goes for a review and we feel like all the questions have been answered, you'll get a P&L. But we have over 100 clients. We can't do all 100 clients in the first 7 days of the month. That'll never happen. So a P&L is usually about 4 to 6 weeks after the month is over. And that is a normal time to expect something. I don't think it's, you know, anything past that, you might want to start asking questions. Mm-hmm. But here's the thing, Tom, I think you were like started like, it's been like a round, and I'm going to just kind of bring this point out. I'm going to ask you a question. So I, as you know, all my clients get a P&L and balance mm-hmm. sheet. What percent do you think actually look at it?
5.
Ooh, you went completely the other way.
I think they see it and they open it and they go, I don't know what to do with it, and they shut it. So I think they'll open it and don't know what to do with it. I'm just talking in general, people that get a P&L. So,
right.
But yeah, I would, you know, I know we're different, but you know,
I would say like, I've actually asked my girls in the office, like, what do you think the percent is? And we've come between like 15 and like 30, like our guesses are between there. Like we really believe less than half of our clients actually look at any of the documentation we send them. And one of the questions I normally get is, will you be able to go over everything with me? Mm-hmm. And I always say, I will, once you look at it, and if you have questions and set up a time with me, because there is no way I could like go over everybody's P&L, but you have to be vested. Mm-hmm. Like you have to want to know your numbers.
100%.
You have to want to understand them. And like there's, you talk about what's the one another problem. That would probably be one of the biggest problems, is like, you don't even look at the report you're given.
Why do you think they don't?
Like the first thing that comes to mind when you ask that question, mm-hmm. Because then they would have to look in a mirror and be accountable, and they don't want to do that.
Yeah,
because it's really their fault. Yeah. They I mean, those people usually like to point the finger to everybody and anything else, but when you actually mm-hmm. look at the numbers,
well, the truth hurts. The truth hurts, yeah. And it also, you know. You know, I'm quoting a song by a band called Bring Me the Horizon. It says, before the truth will set you free, it will piss you off.
Yeah.
And so I think you're right on with that, is we don't want to look in the mirror and go, yeah, here's the math of my business and it's my fault. So.
And that's a big piece. Mm-hmm. It's my fault because it's nobody else's. It's not the guy who's maybe slacking on the job. It's not. Mm-hmm. You know, that the materials, like there's a shortage of stone and we can't get the stone. And so that's the problem. It's not the, mm-hmm. I have a piece of crap truck and it's not any of that. It's the person in the mirror.
Speaking of the person in the mirror.
Uh-oh.
in our home stretch here, I want to ask you, all right, over 20 years, how have you changed over 20 years? How have you grown, changed?
There's so many to list. Think about, you did a podcast with the Deckers. Mm-hmm. I don't know how many years ago that was at in Nashville. Yep. And I accidentally walked in. And that is technically the very first podcast I ever did. It was like the last 10 minutes of that podcast. And back then you used to ask me about like doing a podcast and be like, you want me to do what? Mm-hmm. I think about the first time you asked me to speak in front of a group and it was like, you know, 60 people. And I was like, you want me to do what? Last year you asked me to speak at Mile High and I spoke in front of 300, 400 people. Mm-hmm. I now have my own YouTube channel. I'm doing this. And oh, by the way, this is where I give you a hard time. Okay. You're not my first podcast.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, you're a handful down now. But think about it. Like, mm-hmm. I've done podcasts. Like, that's a big thing. To be that comfortable, that's probably where I've probably grown the most.
I would second that. I've seen it big time, and it's fun to watch. I've also seen your own money mindset change over the years, you know, just about the value you bring and what you're worth and things like that. And guys, nobody's exempt from this, right? You can be a banker, a bookkeeper, a CPA, a lawyer. It doesn't matter. The contractor, like, money head trash runs deep in a lot of people. And you're bringing like so much value to people that keeps them out of tax trouble, you know, keeps them out of debt, keeps them fed, keeps built, you know, the money coming into the family and all this other stuff with the work you do. And I've loved over the past 20 years watching you kind of build your own confidence with that, if that makes sense. So
yeah, thank you.
Hat tip to you on that. Speaking of hats. All right. So you have the microphone here for the next couple minutes. And at the time of this recording, we have somewhere between, you know, 38 and 45,000 contractors a week that listen to this show. So now you're standing in a room of, call it 40,000 people. You're in a stadium full of contractors. What do you want them to know about the numbers, math, mindset, anything that's in your neck of the woods here?
When you started talking about, you know, the confidence that I had in like charging what I'm worth, I think we all have this. It's the baggage that comes from our upbringing. I mean, you've talked about yourself many times. You know, my baggage growing up was not pretty. It was pretty rough. I didn't come from much. Never knew my value. But I also have, for me, and maybe, you know, the women out there could appreciate this, I grew up in a background where nobody really went to college. It was expected that, you know, I would just grow up and like find a husband and then like be the housewife. When I started my business 20 years ago, my family looked at me like I was absolutely bonkers. And there really wasn't, I didn't really have the support. I had a lot of, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Why are you doing this? And that to me was probably the biggest piece. When you talk about that confidence, getting over it is because even though when they look at you like that, how that gets internalized is, well, I must not be worth it. I must not be valued to be able to do this, because why would you look at me that way? Why would you not support me? Why is this such a big deal for me to want to do this? Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of people, that's part of the head trash in like wanting to charge more or knowing that they have this value to give to people, is that if you didn't have that, it's really hard to do that. So that would probably be the first thing, as I would tell contractors, is you are worth it. You know, I have probably a kajillion million things around here that need to be done. And I just want to find the person that would help me do it. And I don't even know, like, and finding good ones. I mean, being authentic and being real and being empathetic to the people and just being yourself, I think is another piece that a lot of people make. They want to be this boasty, whatever. And that's not what homeowners want. They want to trust you. They want to like, I've had people like, if they want to, like, for me, like when I'm a part of your team or my client's team, I feel like I'm part of their team. I'm part of their family. And that's the kind of thing you want to build. And that's a trust and that's time. But if you do that with that mindset, that will definitely help you grow. And then you can charge what you're worth and you can charge and not feel bad about it. I guess that's where I'm going to put my little stand on is that.
I love that. I'm not surprised either, you know, and guys, listen, one of the things about math that's really cool is it's unemotional. We make it emotional.
Yes.
Right. And so the numbers don't lie. So even if you're like, I don't think I'm worth this, when you have your numbers dialed in and your job cost and things, and you're looking at the truth of the math, Okay. That alone, we've seen help several people where they could just go, okay, my heart and my emotions aren't there yet, but these are the facts and I'm going to trust the facts. And that's one of the beautiful things about math is it doesn't give a shit what area of the country you're in. It doesn't care how long you've been in business. It doesn't, you know, it's like, you know, it doesn't complicate things. We complicate the math.
Yeah. And if your chart of accounts are right, and that's, you know, usually the number one thing I say wrong in business is your chart of accounts are right. And you look at them and you look at like your labor and you look at your income. And like, if you, those two numbers alone, and like your labor is like 3/4 of your income, then like you have to go, something's wrong here. Yeah. And I've literally seen that 3 times in the last 2 weeks.
Oh, I've seen a lot through the years. And guys, that's like right now, if you charge $1,000 for something and your labor's costing you $750 of the $1,000, that's what she's talking about here. Just,
right.
You know, and you have one of two problems. You have a sales problem, meaning you're simply just not charging enough. Or you have a production problem, meaning you're just dragging ass on job sites and you're not efficient enough because your labor costs are too high, right? And there's two ways to raise gross profit or a combination. It's you raise your prices or you lower what you're paying out to produce the work. And I'm not saying that you cut your wages of your people. That's not what we're talking. Pay them what they're worth. Pay them to have a career and all that other shit. But it's our job to know the numbers in a way to sell at the right price so that we have profit back in the business so that we can continue to reinvest in the business, in our people, in our communities, and be around for the long haul. So,
yep.
Well said, girl.
Thank you.
Gina, how does somebody find you? If they're like, man, I want Reber's bookkeeper. I want her to be my bookkeeper.
GreenTreeBK.com. GreenTreeBK, like bookkeeping.com is my website. There's a link there that you can reach out to me and send me an email. And then my lovely admin will respond to you with a little profile sheet so I can get some information on you. Because that way, when I talk to you, it kind of speeds up that little process of knowing the information on you. And again, that YouTube channel, I think will help a lot of people out as well.
What's that, Green Tree Bookkeeping on YouTube?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, perfect. We'll put the links in the show notes. Gina, thank you for a great 20. And I know we got another 20 in us. And
I'll just say, I'm like, I've been like your little mama bearer. Like you're like my kid brother. And I mean, just, I want to give kudos to you. The way you've grown yourself, it's been amazing to watch, to see you start something. I think about it. It's 3 times now. Like, you know, your little one, you switched around, you did something else, you switched around, you did something else. And every step has seen you get bigger and stronger and more compassionate, I would say. And you have a lot to give and the world is a better place for you being in it.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
You're welcome. No problem.
Well, guys, we've been like the 20 years, we've been through a lot, right? I mean, you've been, Gina's seen it all, been part of it all in the businesses, the ups, the downs, bankruptcy, personal bankruptcy, not business bankruptcy. So Gina had nothing to do with my bankruptcy many years ago, just so you guys know. And
watching you get your kids. That was awesome.
Helping us raise money for adopting our kids and this and that. Guys, this is the type of person that is here. And I would tell you that if you don't have that sort of a relationship with somebody in your business like this, in this role, then you need to. And hit the links in the show notes. Go to greentreebk.com. And Gina, I appreciate you. I love you. Thanks for being on the show today. And
I appreciate and love you too.
All right. Have a good one. Everybody, appreciate you hanging out here today. Give us a rating. Wait. Give us a review. Share this with another contractor. Oh, what were you going to say?
You had to do your ending, you know.
I'm getting there.
Okay, because I want to do it with you.
All right. So give us a rating. Give us a review. You guys rock.
I got to roll.
There you go. You just wanted to say that. That's funny.
I did.
Love it. All right, guys. Appreciate you. We'll catch you next time. We're out.